this is Susie from Many Issues Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. With these podcasts, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to the next step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, but doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the Inishu's mission and is brought to you by the cool folks over at epostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So if you're ready, know I am. Let's take the next step. Well, we are back. We are back with the next step, and I'm so glad you are as well. And we're back in America. I want to tell you that we're not all in one piece anymore. Susie's out in Chicago. I'm back in the Glendale office. And so basically we're doing this remotely again. I don't know how. You know what? I think we just got used to it. We said that, okay, if it's possible to do it remotely, let's do it. So we're doing it remotely. And this is part of the excitement of putting together a podcast like this. Want to welcome you, whether it's your first time here or whether you're a return customer, so to speak. It's great to have you. As I was doing the intro, the next step little blurb that we run at the beginning, you know, it occurred to me that we haven't really tied in that next step idea in a long, long time. I mean, we call it the next step, but then we start, giving some kind of information about, like, well, it's part of the expanding vision in his shoes. We've got apostle.net, all kinds of stuff. But maybe we need to make that clear what the next step is. And I think today, when I tell you the news that I've got for you today, you'll understand what next step is, at least for us, why it's so exciting. Because, you know, in Armenian Orthodoxy, there needs to be a next step. I mean, we're talking about the church, of course. The church, it's kind of stagnant, kind of like sometimes even walking backwards. Well, you need a next step towards progress, forward. I got some great news for you. Something that just blew my mind, but I want to share it with you. I'm going to share it with you probably a little bit later in the podcast. We've got all kinds of stuff. We are back in America, all done with Argentina. Incredible place. I shared some information about it last week on this podcast, and I'll go into a few more details because I thought it was just one of the more beautiful places on earth to be. Not only the landscape over there, not only the people, but just the general atmosphere, just the general way of life. And of course, I'm there as a tourist, and certainly everything looks beautiful for tourists. But you know what? There is something to be said about the pace of life, about the enjoyment of life, the quality of life. And it sounds almost cliche. It's not about quantity, it's about quality. Well, we found a lot of quantity and quality in Argentina. Beautiful, beautiful place to be there. I'm going to share some thoughts about that, about returning back home. By the way, we came home on LAN Airline. Hey, listen, you know, if you've been on a few airlines, I think I ragged on British Air last time when we returned back from London. I've got to tell you, LAN Airline, L-A-N, it is a fantastic airline. Like, I'm talking about, we don't sit up in the Hoochie-Coo area. We're in the back economy area, but it was great. It was just great service, great leg room. Yes. Even people like us, short people, yes, we do like that leg room. We appreciate it. Anyway, great little airline, LAN, and I'm not doing a commercial for them. No, they do not pay me anything. They should, right? They should, yes. Somebody draft a letter to them, right? Anyway, we digress, as we seldom do. We are here today during the middle of Genocide Commemoration Week. And I just finished a little speech that I gave over at the University of Southern California. I've got a couple more engagements coming up tomorrow. We're going to be at the Glendale Community College in the evening in Santa Barbara, UC Santa Barbara. And then, of course, we have our famine coming up this weekend. We've got a lot of thoughts going on about genocide 95 years later. What does it mean? You know, especially going on in the world right now, all the major problems. You know, we've got an economy that's collapsing everywhere. We've got people that are out of work. We've got issues of justice. We've got issues of war. We've got issues, well, of terror. And so you want to, and there's a lot of uncertainty that is associated with all of these topics, right? So what does a story from 95 years ago have to do with us today? Well, we hope that we'll be able to look at some of those questions and answer them and really get to the next step, so to speak, in this entire genocide commemoration process. We've got Ani with her bubbles. She is ready to go with her bubbles as well. And of course, the harp player is back. Yes, the harpist is here. So it's going to be a great show today. Ken up in the booth, Susie out in Chicago. What more can you want? Hey, listen, we start off every week with a song of the day. Now, this week I've selected a song. Well, it's a local artist in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Her name is Victoria Teresa Avedikian. She is a mezzo-soprano. She's put together a collection of Gomidas works. We're going to be listening to one of them right now. I hope you enjoy it. One of the biggest losses of the Armenian genocide, Gomidas Vartabed. You know, we talk about 1.5 million. That's just scratching the surface. We're talking about poets. We're talking about writers. We're talking about intellect. All of it wiped out. Anyway, a song called Alagyaz Khangizar, The Tree of Happiness, by Gomidas Vartabed. The artist performing that was Victoria Teresa Avedikian. She's a mezzo-soprano. This is off of a small little CD she's put together. I met her sister, actually, in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. And accompanying her was Gayane Jalaspanyan. I want to say that that's the correct way of saying it. I'm reading a transliteration. She's on the piano. Together, Victoria Avedikyan and Gaya Nijal Espana put together this beautiful CD called A Homage to Gomidas. And I want to tell you it's available, but I doubt it. It looks like it's a CD that's been put together by them, and definitely worth checking out if you can find it. But I did want to share that one song with you, and there is a collection of 17 songs on the CD. But this particular song, of course, it talks about the Tree of Happiness, and you got to think, what happiness is there? What can you see happiness in the midst of all of that turmoil? And of course, Gomidas did not compose these songs looking out at the genocide, but certainly it was in the background. That is, there were massacres taking place, you know, in the late 19th century, and there were pogroms, there were things leading up to the genocide. So it was in the midst of this that he composed many of these songs, which offered glimmers of hope, offered little bits of light. I thought about that the other day as I was vesting. Our soloist sang the quote-unquote heavy version of Horu Torhin. There is a hymn of vesting. It's called Mystery Deep, Inscrutable, Without Beginning. It really sets the pace of where Armenian theology, where Armodoxy wants to take the individual through the liturgy. Mystery Deep, Inscrutable, Without Beginning. And there is a version that Gomidas Vartabed has composed the music to. And you've probably heard it. Actually, it's quite popular among people, artists who are trying to put together spiritual music. It goes, it's a Horu I know you've heard it. I don't do it justice here. Okay, Ken's got it queued up. Listen, here's Lucine Zakaryan doing it. Simple, elegant, transforming, and therefore powerful. And wait, here's the question. You know, here's a group of people going through pogroms, going through massacres. The not only communities, entire villages, entire nation is being displaced, and it eventually evolves into a genocide. And here is a monk of the church writing a song, writing the melody that takes you up to heaven. You know, I mean, celebrities talk about the Om, about the sound of the universe, and they plug into it. You want to talk about a sound of the universe? It's the ability to hope where there is no hope. It's the ability to see light where there is no light. It's the ability to see life where there is death. And I think this is why I'm saying it's one of the biggest losses that we had during the genocide, was to lose this kind of feeling that Gomidas Vartabed displayed. And in fact, this last Sunday, as I was vesting, I was listening to our soloist sing this version of Horu Torhin, and my mind went to it, and my sermon evolved as such, that we as Armenians have this beautiful tradition of looking at the empty grave. Why do we keep going back to looking at that crucifixion instead of seeing the empty grave? I mean, especially right after Easter. You remember the story? The story, we talked about it last week too. That beautiful gospel passage where the women go to the tomb of Christ expecting to find the dead body so that they can anoint it. And there they are greeted by the angel of the Lord who says, "Why are you searching for the living among the dead?" And perhaps this is the one reason why this group of people, despite all the odds, Armenians have been able to not only survive, but to move forward, to live and thrive. Yes, not to the numbers that people, I mean, that thrive, yes, of course, it's one of those loaded words, right? Yes, what does thrive mean? Yes, they're not on the Fortune 500, and they may not all live the Kim Kardashian life. But that thriving has something to do with the quality of that life, right? And so, is there some magic in looking at the empty tomb? That's how my sermon went this Sunday. Actually, I invite you to listen to it in Armenian. It's on the net. It's part of the Sermons from Glendale series. But let me share with you some thoughts, because right after the sermon, I did get a few people who were kind of bent out of shape. You know, like, how dare you talk about commemoration as something positive? Well, it wasn't so much positive as it was looking at the empty grave rather than the cross, rather than looking at Good Friday, taking a look at Easter. And so the scriptural foundation that I used for the sermon was from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 8, in which Jesus is inviting these men to follow him, the disciples. And he turns to one such man and says, "Follow me." And the man says, "I'd love to follow you. I want to follow you. In fact, I'm here. I'm coming to follow you. But first, I need to tend to something very important. My father has passed away. I need to tend to his funeral. I need to bury him. And then, definitely, I'll be here. I'll follow you." And Jesus turns to him and gives him this statement that I think we need to pay heed to. We need to listen to. He said, "Let the dead bury the dead. You follow me." Now, viewed superficially, I mean, how tactless can you be? What is this? Guy's father dies and you say, "Come and follow me"? I mean, don't mourn, don't bury him. I mean, it's very insensitive. What do you mean? "Follow me, let the dead bury the dead." But of course, that's not what the intent of this story is all about. That if there is life, you need to opt for life, not for death. Jesus, the incarnation of love, Jesus, life, is there in your presence. How could you possibly opt for death? And here is a statement that is being made to people who mourn day in and day out. And whatever the case may be, you may have lost a spouse, you may have lost a child, you may have lost a parent, and you're grieving. It's not a question about don't go bury them. It's about where are you going to look to find them. In the case of Jesus, we were directed not to look at the cross. We were directed to look beyond the empty tomb. He is not here. He is risen. Why are you searching for the living among the dead? And whether it's a case of a personal loss you've experienced, or collectively, as Armenians, I think about this all the time, having being part of a group of people who experience a collective loss, a collective mourning when it comes to Armenian commemoration of genocide. I think about this intensely, that why are we looking in the wrong places? He is not here. The Armenian people are not in the grave. The grave is empty. You need to look beyond it and see there is life there. And there is the potential for life in all of us when we focus in on that life beyond the grave. And who is that life beyond the grave but Christ himself? Who is there outside of the grave? The resurrected Christ. And this has been the cornerstone of Armadoxy throughout the centuries. It has been the reason why people have been able to survive, even genocide. It's the reason why Gomidas Vartabed could sit there with his people dying and still find a beauty in the mystery deep. Inscrutable, without beginning. Because he's looking beyond that grave. And we are now given an opportunity to do the same. To look beyond the grave. And what do we find there? Life. Now, what does this mean to us? Of course, you know, it's very easy to talk about it. But in reality, we know that loss implies pain. There is a certain grieving process that we all experience whenever we've experienced loss. And collectively, when you talk about issues of genocide, whether it's the Armenians, whether it's the Holocaust for the Jews, whether it's Cambodia, Bosnia, Rwanda, collectively you talk about a mourning process, a process of grieving, and then hopefully that there's some resolution and closure. In the case of the Armenians, there is no closure. Unlike the Jewish Holocaust, there has never been a Nuremberg trial. There has not been retribution, any kind of acceptance on the part of the persecutor. Turkey today continues a practice of denial. So with that denial there, it's much like what the Catholic Church has been faced with lately, especially with this with these scandals. And then what do you got? To add insult to the injury, there is a straight, blatant, outright denial of the facts. And that's what Armenians have had to experience throughout the years since the genocide. I mean, we've been raped, we've been assaulted, we've been killed, and then at the end of it, the person who has instigated it, who has raped us, the persecutor, denies it. And a world community, well, many of the world community has accepted it now, but still the big players, including the United States, refuses to accept this. So what is this? Isn't this the same story as the Vatican? Right? What the Vatican's going through right now. By the way, I'm just going to take a little sideline. Check out Nicholas Kristof's editorial. My friend Hadach from London sent it to me, and I'm glad he did because it was just excellent. It talked about the Catholic Church and the scandals that they're having, but it also reminded us that the Catholic Church does have another face to it. And he didn't say it in these words, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, in essence. That the Catholic Church is much more than the scandal. And especially in this respect, I don't mean to belittle the Catholic Church. I have such tremendous respect for the social programs that they do have in place. But in this case, in our topic over here, what we're talking about is that insult to the injury. And it doesn't allow us to go through that mourning, that grieving process. And so we get stuck in this cycle of continuously burying the dead, continuously going to the grave, continuously looking at the grave for the answers. And the time has come right now to really pop out of that mold, to get out of that cycle that keeps you down, that keeps you dead. And move out to find the life. Now I'm going to come back right after we listen to Ani. I'm going to share with you what we're doing at In Issues. I'm going to share with you some ideas of how you, me, how all of us, whether it's personal loss or whether it's a collective loss, how each of us can really focus in on the important things, how we can go beyond that grave. But we're going to take a break right now because I know we have the harpist. She's been playing. She's been ready to go. We missed you last week. And Ani is here with her bubbles.
He needed me, today's spiritual bubble. A nurse escorted a tired, anxious young man to the bedside of an elderly man. "Your son is here," she whispered to the patient. She had to repeat the words several times before the patient's eyes opened. He was heavily sedated because of the pain of his heart attack, and he dimly saw the young man standing outside the oxygen tent. He reached out his hand, and the young man tightly wrapped his fingers around it, squeezing a message of encouragement. The nurse brought a chair next to the bedside. All through the night, the young man sat holding the old man's hand, offering a gentle word of hope. The dying man said nothing as he held tightly to his son. As dawn approached, the patient died. The young man placed on the bed the lifeless hand he had been holding, and then went to notify the nurse. While the nurse did what was necessary, the young man waited. When she had finished her task, the nurse began to say words of sympathy to the young man. But he interrupted her. "Who was that man?" he asked. The startled nurse replied, I thought he was your father." "No, he was not my father," he answered. "I've never seen him before in my life." "Then why didn't you say something when I took you to him?" asked the nurse. He replied, "I also knew that he needed his son, and his son just wasn't here. When I realized he was too sick to tell whether or not I was his son, I knew how much he needed me." This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani, for that beautiful bubble. Yes, it does drift off. It takes your mind away for a while and maybe takes one or two listenings to get it. But I think once you do get it, it kind of like fits in. Appreciate it. Always appreciate having Ani with us. Hey, I got some great news to you today. Ani has her own blog. That's right. Ani is a student of nursing. Yes, what'd you think? She was just a professional bubble. No, Ani is a student of nursing, and she has her own blog. I want to steer you to it. It's at scrubsmag.com/blogs/student-nurse. We'll put the link right on our website. We'll put it with the show notes for today. But if you read it, you'll find some even greater news in there, too. And I'll let you find out, okay? It's an Ani's blog. And do check it out. It's on our show notes. Just press on the link and you'll get there. At Scrubs Magazine, she is the student nurse blogger. And of course, we're very proud of her. And she gives us the bubbles to think about. Takes our minds up to heaven with those bubbles. And I know she's going to give all her readers so much more to think about through her blog. So good luck with that, Ani. And of course, Ani is one of the important components of what we call the Next Step program over here. And of course, you are too. We'll take this opportunity to just take a break right now and thank everybody for their prayers and their support. Want to mention especially today, Professor Nicholas and Janine Economides, who are sponsoring today's podcast. And we want to invite other listeners to also take on a responsibility of saying, hey, we will sponsor one of the podcasts, two of the podcasts. Hey, you want to do a month, a couple months? How about a year? Anything you want. We just appreciate your involvement because it means that this podcast is reaching out to a large group of people, a larger group of people every day, and we appreciate it. I am very humbled. I mean, I look at the numbers every week. I am so humbled that we do have listeners from just about every corner of the world. In fact, that was what was exciting about going to Argentina and finding out that we've got people who knew more about, well, the Next Step and knew more about In His Shoes than a lot of people right around in our own local circle. And of course, that's very encouraging to us. And as are your comments. Hey, thank you so much for dropping us those emails and your comments. And we even got a couple calls. You know, we do have that special line we've set up since day one. If you happen to leave a message on that, we'll be happy to play that as well. Yeah. Let's do some voice messages. Well, you could send me an MP3 of you. You could always email it at feedback@epostle.net, or you can call the special line in the United States, 626-275-AMEN. Wow, what a number. That's 626 area code, 275-AMEN. And just leave a message there, and we'll be happy to play your tidings, your message, here on The Next Step. Again, our thanks to the Economides for making today's podcast a possibility, and we encourage others to do the same. System of a Down to bring us back to reality. I don't know, were we too far off of reality to say that we've got to start looking beyond the grave? I mean, think about it. The reality sometimes might be that grave, right? There is some comfort in that pain. But you know what? Once you get beyond that pain, you're able to see things in a different perspective, right? And the Christian really is called. Didn't we talk about this a few minutes ago? I mean, that whole story about Gomidas Vartabed and writing that Chorut Horin. It's to be able to find that light amidst the darkness. To be able to focus on the love, even when you're surrounded by hate. To be able to, well, to latch on to life, even when there is death. And these are not just words, as we found with Jesus inviting his disciples. He's not just using words. He's challenging them to let the dead bury the dead and not to just be blatantly insensitive, but to say that there is life that you need to opt for. And so we've been talking about this, and I want to follow up because this weekend, as you know, those of you who have been following on our website and following these podcasts, is really a very important week for us because, well, we do the 30-hour famine. And for 30 hours, a group of young kids, most of them Armenian. In other words, most of them are genocide survivors. Yes, I could say that. They never went through genocide. No, they never lost the comforts of Nintendo and all of the good things that money can buy. But in a very real sense, they are genocide survivors. We all are, right? Because you've had to deal with a community, a people that has this open wound, a community with injustice being dished out at them constantly. I mean, I feel this many times even when the Armenian political parties, they have such a... I mean, not only the political parties, all of them. Everybody's like crying out, you know, like, we want justice, we want justice. Well, what do you expect from them, these people? They're all politicians. What do you think that they're going to do? Dish out justice? They're going to dish out politics. Whatever makes sense for them. Whatever makes sense for them. See, the problem is, once you start going to the politicians, you're only going to get politics in return. And this is what I think about many times when we go to them. Well, what's the signal being sent to our kids? Our kids are learning that you as an Armenian are basically a second-class citizen, right? Because you can go to the politicians, but they're always going to deny you. And so you need to find something even greater than that. And it's not looking at politicians, but it's looking at the faith, at the core of our faith. And that's what the Inner Shoes Ministry is all about. Looking at our faith, Jesus Christ gives us a set of principles that if you follow, leads you to life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Doesn't mean you just take Jesus and say, "Ooh, I love Jesus and therefore I'm saved." Yeah, I wish it was that easy, but it's not. It means being responsible for life. It means putting to practice what Jesus taught. Being able to love even your enemies. I mean, when you look at the real freedom movements, whether it's Martin Luther King Jr., whether it's the work done by Cesar Chavez, or even Gandhi. I mean, think about it. Gandhi, non-Christian. And yet, all of these people have based their movements on the very simple principles expounded by Jesus Christ. That you overcome your adversaries with the incredible power of love. And here the Armenian people, first Christian nation, basically have the formula. And I am convinced that in the past we've exercised that formula. And that accounts for, despite all of the hardships, despite even genocide, despite the fact that we've never had any military strategies or plans, we've not only survived, but have been able to build. We've been able to move forward as a people. And whether it's King, Gandhi, Chavez, or today the Armenian people, it's a simple formula that was given to us by Jesus Christ. Take a look at the empty grave. What does that tell you? It tells you that love is more powerful than hate, because all the hatred in the world came to us on the cross, where love incarnate was nailed on the cross, where blood was dripping from the cross, and it didn't end there. It didn't end at the grave. It continues. And see, in your life, in my life, in our collective life, as a people, your difficulties, the evil, the crosses are there, but they can be conquered. Victory is mine, says Jesus. I have overcome the world. Well, what does that mean? The world is everything that's been tossed out at you. It's even the natural disasters, including the hurricanes and the earthquakes. It's the most difficult of difficulties. But be of courage. And that courage means you have that faith. And so now, armed with that faith, armed with the love in our heart, and the ability to practice that love in our actions, we are now ready to make a statement, to say that, you know, what's happened in the past has happened. And that genocide is so real that it is affecting our today, our present. And in so doing, we are touching the future with that glimmer of hope, with those rays of love. This week we're going to be doing a 30-hour famine. We're going to be fasting for 30 hours. Everyone who's participating, everyone who has signed up, has made a commitment that they will not eat for 30 hours. And during those 30 hours, we're going to get together, we're going to be studying the teachings of King, the teachings of Gandhi, and they all go back down to the teachings of Jesus Christ. We're going to be studying, we're going to be praying, we're going to get together and have some great discussions. Meanwhile, we're looking for people who are sponsoring. Each participant has committed to raising at least, at the very least, $150. I just got a commitment from my good friend Richard Malikian out in Phoenix, Arizona, that he's willing to match it. He's willing to match the funds that these people, that these young people are collecting. And before you know it, these matching funds and what we have will start growing. And I'm telling you, in the last 9 years that we've done it, we've collected over $500,000. And we've donated it to, are you ready for this? To kids of genocide, to families who have gone through genocide. In the past, we've donated it to Rwanda. Right now, we're looking at those refugees of Darfur. You see, because the kids in Darfur, the children in Darfur, and those refugees that have come out, now they're in the refugee camps in Chad, they're no different than the refugees of Armenia, the ones who were thrown out of Armenia on the road to Derzor. I think I've shared this with you in the past, that when I was in Rwanda in 2006, we were going over the Nile River, and the guide next to me, he stopped the truck. He was driving us over the Nile River, and he said, "You see that? That's the Nile River." He said, "During the genocide, it was red because it was full of blood." He said, "The women would jump in there. Rather than be raped, they'd rather kill themselves than be raped." And it reminded me of, well, we have the similar thing. My grandparents told me about it. The Euphrates River, it was red, filled with blood, as women would rather jump in there rather than be raped. In Rwanda, I read time and time again about the stories, and I met with genocide survivors who told me the exact same stories. I mean, I'm not talking about similar stories. I'm talking about exact stories. And as I was standing there in Rwanda, I immediately became colorblind because I saw my grandparents in these Rwandans. I mean, the only difference was the color of our skin, and I didn't see that. I was looking through time, looking at my grandparents in these people. Not Rwandans, people. And you quickly understand what it means when God says all wars are civil wars. Well, sure, from God's vantage point, everyone's his child. What do you think? He just loves one or two of you. I mean, this is bizarre always. It always gets me how there's always this small little group that claims that God just loves them. Or God's only going to save this small little group. Who are you to be so presumptuous? Who are you that you're better than everybody else? I mean, isn't that the basic message of Jesus Christ? That we're all invited to the kingdom. That we're all his children. And God makes it rain on the good as well as the bad. And so if God doesn't distinguish, who are we to distinguish? To separate, to alienate, to create the partitions that we do. We're all in this boat together. And so this group, In His Shoes Ministries, is exactly that, is walking in the shoes of others, feeling that pain. In Armenia, there's an expression, it's called tsavadanim. Let me take your pain. It is a very Armenian expression. Let me feel your pain. Let me take your pain. Let me walk in your shoes. And once I start walking in your shoes, I'm able to respect you now, right? And out of that respect evolves the love that I have towards you. Now that love is what gets us through. That love is what transforms the evil, what lightens up the darkness, what brings to life that which is dead. Now I invite you to do this. This year's famine, we're going to be starting on April 24th in the morning, 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. I believe we're daylight time, excuse me. Give or take an hour, okay? 7 o'clock. We're going to go for 30 hours. And I invite you, if you can, do it yourself. If you can't, give us a donation. But no matter what you do, that donation is an important element in this. Because you're not doing this for yourself. You're not just fasting to lose some weight. You're not just going to go without food so you feel better. You're going to go without food to raise money with a specific target, with a specific cause, to help children of genocide. For me, as a genocide survivor from the Armenian genocide, I could only have wished that somebody in the past, that 95 years ago, somebody had done something like this for our people. Somebody had cared enough to look at the Armenian genocide as something that needed attention, that needed to be solved, needed to be ended. And so, do it with us. I would love it. Drop me a line immediately. You need to do it quickly. Drop it at feedback@apostle.net and they'll make sure that I get it. Tell me you want to do it or you want to raise the money for it. And then join us. Now we have a group that's going to be doing it in Armenia with us this year. And so we're going to be Skyping with them. So no matter where you are, Armenia is about 12 hours ahead of us. So basically we've got that 30-hour difference. But there's a group out there that's going to have their own programming. And we have our programming over here. You can join us. You can be a participant in that. We're going to see if we can even get a link out on that day. Maybe even have a webcam that's constantly going. Susie's looking into that. And we're looking in the possibility of doing that immediately. You need to go to our website, In His Shoes. You need to see what's going on. But most importantly, you need to connect. Because Christianity, Armadoxy, is not about something that you find in the books. I love it. I love all the beautiful music. I love the smoke and the incense, and I love all of the candle work. That's why I'm an Orthodox priest, because I love the trappings. But let me tell you something. If that's all that I loved, then I would be worthless as a priest. Because you see, all of those trappings are the means by which the message gets delivered. Let's say that one more time. All of those trappings, whether it's incense, it's the candles, it's the music, are the means by which the message is delivered. And that, my friends, is the next step. That's the step we're taking, is to use those as means to get that message out, the message of hope, the message of love, the one that tells us that life is all-conquering over death. That life is the option that you and I need to opt for. That let the dead bury the dead. I'm going to follow love. I'm going to follow the message of hope. And in that message, I'm going to find the salvation for myself, for my people, for my family, and yes, for the world. The salvation. In other words, saved. Not talking about going to heaven and finding keys to the kingdom. We're not talking about gold-plated Cadillacs and stuff like that. We're talking about the real heaven, the presence of God. The real heaven, which is the presence of love, and living in that love constantly. Can you do it? Can you find it? Yes. It's all out there. And it's all within. Look deep down within you and you'll see it. Look outside of you and you'll find it. That's the beauty of this Armadoxy we talk about. It is all-consuming. It is all-powerful. It is holistic. And it gets you what you need. Now, of course, today I talked about the Armenian unique experience of genocide. And I know we have so many listeners that aren't ethnically Armenian. But here's your challenge. Use that Armenian experience as the example. And understand that whether that loss is on a grand scale, such as genocide, through war, or if it's on a very personal level, that you need to look beyond the graves of your life, beyond the crosses, and find the power of life all around you. And taking that now, here it is, we're in the last few moments, and this is the punchline. Make an impact for tomorrow. Right now, there is a genocide taking place in Darfur. I, as an Armenian priest, find it necessary to take my past, to give it relevance by bringing it into the present and addressing the situations that take place right now. Darfur is a genocide that I can relate to, and therefore I need to do something about it. At first, I need to bring assistance. Second, I need to look for the sources of the problem to find the remedy and the justice. In His Shoes gives you that opportunity to walk in the shoes of others. And this is a call to each and every one of you listening right now to take seriously your role to walk in the shoes of others and feel it. You know, as Armenians, there's some great people to look out at. There's the Kardashians. Keeping up with them. There's Andre Agassi. There's Cher. Oh, we love to say it. In fact, I just saw Yerevan magazine. The cover's got Kirk Krikorian. I mean, what is this obsession with people? You want the real Armenian? It's the one who's able to transform death into life. It's the one who's able to look beyond the grave. It's the one who's able to look at the cross and say that beyond that crucifixion, there's an empty tomb. It's you and me. when we take our past, apply it to our today, and forge the future. You can do it. You have it in you. And today, it's our commitment to put an end to genocide because we've gone through genocide. And I invite you to join this struggle, to join this movement, to be a part of it, to walk in the shoes of others, feel their pain, and grow in love. Whatever you end up doing this weekend, I wish you the best. There's all kinds of ways of commemorating. Some people go out there and they march. Others go out there and lay a flower, a wreath. Others say a prayer. Others sing a song. Whatever you do, it's the human soul that is reaching out to make sense out of what we call this life. And I don't want to say madness. Yes, it is madness, but making sense out of that chaos. Well, I shared with you how I'm commemorating, and I hope it's been inspirational. At the very least, I hope it's been informative. It's been a pleasure on this end producing today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Hey, we'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line. We're at feedback@apostle.net. Check out our websites, inhisshoes.org, as well as apostle.net, where you'll find Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. That's epostle.net. Of course, inhisshoes.org, we're going to be updating that hopefully throughout the weekend as the different incidents happen, as different things go on with our famine, with our planned famine. Please remember us in your prayers. And if you can, join us on our webcasts. And, join us if you can with fasting and drop us a donation. I want to take this opportunity to thank Professor Nicholas and Janine Economides for their wonderful support, for sponsoring today's podcast, and we invite you to send in your donations to the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center. That's 632 West Stocker Street in Glendale, California. That's in the United States of America. For the wonderful crew who put this together today, for Susie, our producer, for Ken up in the booth, and thank you, Ken, for those wonderful little licks of music that we got today, too. For Ani with her bubbles, and we congratulate her on all the new things taking place. You'll have to read her blog. She's at scrubsmag.com. And, you'll figure it out. And for me, Father Vasquez, we invite you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.